2 Corinthians chapter 4. This morning, you're going to just going to allow you to stay seated, but just if you would, just with all of your heart, honor the Lord's word, all of your mind this morning. Starting at verse 1, 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Therefore, having this ministry, and it's really a ministry of grace by the mercy of God, we do not lose heart, but we have renounced disgraceful, underhanded ways. We refuse to practice cunning or to tamper with God's word. But by the open statement of the truth, we would commend ourselves to everyone's conscience in the sight of God. And even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing. In their case, the God of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelievers. Please note that. Has blinded the minds of unbelievers to keep them from seeing the light of the gospel. Here's an important word. Of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. For what we proclaim is not ourselves, but Jesus Christ is Lord, with ourselves as your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who said, "Let light shine out of darkness," has shown in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that the surpassing power belongs to God and not to us. We are afflicted in every way, but not crushed, perplexed, but not driven to despair, persecuted, but not forsaken, struck down, but not destroyed, always carrying in the body the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be manifested or revealed or shown or illuminated in our bodies. For we who live are always being given over to death for Jesus' sake, so that the life of Jesus also may be manifested or revealed in our mortal flesh. So death is at work in us, but life in you. Since we have the same spirit of faith, according to what has been written, "I believed and so I spoke," we also believe and so we also speak, knowing that he who raised the Lord Jesus will raise us also with Jesus and bring us with you into his presence. For it is all for your sake, so that as grace extends to more and more people, it may increase thanksgiving to the glory of God. Verse 16, so we do not lose heart. Though our outer self is wasting away, our inner self is being renewed day by day. Let's pray. Praise your name, O Lord. Father, we want to see what only Jesus can show us. We recognize that once we were blinded by sin and by the distractions and lies of this world, and yet, as this scripture has said, Lord, your light, it shone in our heart, and the eyes of our heart could see. And we were set free, and we were able to choose right over wrong. Lord, we ask this morning that even more grace would come to us, as the scripture says, so more glory could come to you. I pray for each person in here that, Lord, they would, through Jesus Christ, truly see. And that from that, Father, they would choose the place of life and blessing. And not only would they see for themselves, but the grace you're giving them and you're giving me, would it turn to the world around us. And Father, though the gospel is veiled to them because the God of this world has blinded them, may death work in us in such a way, the death of Christ, that light and life become to work in everybody around us. Teach us how to deny ourselves, to pick up our cross, and to let your light be seen to others. Lord, one day as we finish this life, what will matter is the way we've shown your gospel. And Lord, we ask today that we be strengthened on that eternal timeline, that Lord, we be more yours today than ever before. Holy Spirit, come and guide us. In Christ's name we pray, and everyone said, amen. As we are looking at the issue of grace to glory, we come across this passage that tells us that we've been given a ministry of grace. And if you've read through 2 Corinthians, you understand this gift of reconciliation, this ministry of the Spirit. God's poured grace out into your life and to mine. And your life may not be perfect this morning, but by the grace of God, you are here. Amen? Amen? One more time. It's just, we have lots of grace to celebrate. And Paul says this interesting thing. He says, look, as grace works in your life, that means you're given the ability to bless somebody else. This world wants to tell you how much you don't have and how everybody's treat you wrong and what you deserve that nobody's giving you. And yet the scripture says, no, you've been blessed and you've got grace to give somebody else. But as you do that, don't lose heart. Because it's not too difficult to live in a world where we've received grace but get so pounded by life, get so inundated by the lies of the world that we just lose heart and we lose faith, hope, and love that what God is doing in us, He can do in others. And so we look at this idea of not losing heart, and I want to answer this question this morning because Paul's really talking about it and trying to reach a group of people who aren't really giving him too much grace in 2 Corinthians. He says, look, he says, we don't lose heart. And I want us to think about this question. What do we do when the people we try to bring God's grace to are hard-hearted, set in their ways, self-centered, and have no grace for us? The first thing we do is realize we're looking in the mirror, right? Oh, yeah, that's me. Okay, sorry, all right. So that's the first thing we do. But what do we do with that? Paul says throughout these verses that we don't lose heart. We don't begin to try to win. We don't try to manipulate. We don't kind of compromise the word of God to make it sound good so maybe we'll win with some people who really don't want to hear it. We don't do that. He says what we do is, first of all, we recognize that there's spiritual warfare involved. Not everything is about if I said it well and if they understand. There's spiritual warfare in this life, and Paul says it here in 2 Corinthians 4, 3 through 4. He says, even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing. The God of this age, this is really important, has blinded the minds of unbelievers so that they, what's the next few words say? They cannot see the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. You know, there are kind of two extremes when it comes to spiritual warfare. One is we're over-fixated on it, and everything's about it. We kind of forget that Jesus has already won the battle. And everything is just a demonic struggle. And sometimes, like, no, that's just you. You know? Sometimes the source of it was demonic. I mean, we kind of learned to have a certain attitude. We're going to talk about some of those attitudes. And now it's just us. We're just ingrained with a habit. And Satan doesn't need to do anything. We're on autopilot when it comes to living in fear or being insecure, always comparing ourselves, always fearing the worst. I mean, we're just on autopilot. He kind of set us and let us go. But we need to recognize that there is spiritual warfare because the other extreme is, well, you know, everything's just my attitude. Everything's a formula. Everything's just my performance, my delivery, if I say things smart enough, if I do the right thing. No, there's more than that. And the gospel clearly shows that there is this radical middle, that there is absolutely spiritual warfare. There is more than do things make sense. You ever talk to somebody like, how do they not see what's going on? It's easy. It's not that hard. There are things in our lives that are about spiritual warfare, and we need to recognize that. And what we're going to talk about in the next few minutes is something we need to recognize for ourselves, but we've got to remember it when we try to pour grace out to the world around us. Because if we forget, we will lose heart and give up. He says, the God of this age has blinded the mind. It's always a good thing to take time to review what that the scripture says about the God of this age, about Satan. But he says, look, Satan blinds people, and I'm just going to give you a few thoughts. There are much more in-depth teachings on this. But I want you to have a few thoughts about how Satan blinds people. The first way he does it is he lures them with sinful pleasure. Where's my fishing rod? I was thinking of all sorts of ways so I could cast this thing today and chuck it out there, but I thought I'd probably hurt somebody, so I didn't do that. But Ephesians 2, 1 through 3 says, "You were dead in your sins in which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world and the rulers of the kingdom of air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient, gratifying the cravings of our sinful nature and following its desires." The picture is, Satan is just the master fisherman, and I have no idea how to do it, so I'm just pretending right now, and you can tell me. But, I mean, he's just chucking out the bait all the time, right? And he's inviting you to come on in. Those of you who know to fish, you know when to fish and where to fish and what bait to put on certain places, right? I mean, Satan, it's very clear. Satan doesn't read minds. He's not omniscient. He's just been fishing in the same pond for a really, really long time. And he knows when they bite, and he knows what they bite, and he knows when they're hungry. And what Satan does in all of our lives, he's chucking out the bait, those temptations, and all he's doing is, come on, follow, follow, yank, pull in. That's what he does. Satan blinds us, and he blinds us with that. He pulls us into darkness. Darkness, places we cannot see. You know, we've got to learn to see our weeks not only through the storyline of all the dominant personalities and all the struggles and the finances and the health issues and things like that. We need to see our storyline through the spiritual dynamic, the spiritual warfare that is at play at every moment that we breathe. And we need to remember that. You know, I remember this, and the Lord gave me this image. And there are a few times this week when I was kind of like tempted to either have a really bad attitude or like, that's not so bad. Maybe I can watch that on TV. I just saw this. Said, nope, no thanks. I don't feel like going there. You know what I mean? I just thought, it's just bait. That's all it is. Don't want to go there. Not going to follow it. You know, there are times when we have to recognize that in the middle of this life, Satan's always chucking out, oh, you want this? Here you go. Here's my way. Here it is. And what we have to do is not just say, no, I don't want it. You know what we really need to say? No, I want something more. I want him. I don't want a beating at the end of taking this. You know what I mean? I want peace in my life. I want stability. I just want joy. You know, every time you take the bait of temptation in your life, you increase insecurity in your life. You increase, not being grateful. You compare more, because when Satan, he was chucking out that bait and you take it in, what you don't see that's attached to the end of what you're just taking in is you're in his playground now. You know, and if you're struggling with insecurity, look around the temptations you're saying yes to all the time, because it's feeding all the wrong things in you and leaving you trapped so you don't see what's good when it's available. Satan blinds by luring us with sinful pleasure. He also blinds us by not letting the PowerPoint go to the next slide. There we go. Satan blinds people by overwhelming their thoughts with fear. Oh, he loves to do this one. How am I going to do this? This could be really fun right now. Jesus said that he's the father of lies. And then he's always telling us what to be afraid of. How are you doing, Mark? Sorry, I'm not going to punish you for being in the front row. Let me go with someone in the back. That's who really needs this. No, okay. I'm teasing. A lie can be 99% what? True. So you know what Satan does all the time? Well, I need to believe I can walk in purity. I need to believe that you know what, we can reconcile. I can believe everyone. Oh, yeah, remember last time? You remember last time that happened? Remember last time? Remember what they did to you? Yeah, that's 99% of the story for this one. You know, oh, remember? Yeah, remember how you failed before? Oh, I remember when you tried that. Yeah, 10 years of that. Nothing will change. Satan, the scripture says, is like an adversary who prowls around like a roaring lion, and he's always speaking fear. And he's always using 99% of your past to get you afraid of the future. And if you weren't seated, and I came up to you like this, what would you do? You would either beat me up, or you would just back up. And Satan does this so much to you that he just pushes you back and blinds you from what good can happen next in your life. He blinds us another way. He covers our perspective with bitterness. Jesus was talking about the difference between him and Satan. He says, the thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. All those things have to do with loss. All those things have to do with the pain of losing something. And Satan loves to take loss, right? Take our perspective, put it all on, and then let us walk around like this. I'm going to run into things. This is not good. And all we swear we see is what's been painted over our eyes. That's what I see. All we do is we see everything through bitterness. We see it through loss. We see it through pain. And what Satan loves to do in life, since what is true about this life, even Jesus said it, in this world you will have life, but you also have trouble. That's great. Look, trouble's coming. Trouble's part of this life. We don't have to be afraid of it, but it's part of it. There are painful things that God has to heal us in. But what happens is, you take that pain and take that loss, take that bitterness, and all of a sudden it begins to filter and cover everything we see. So much so that one of my favorite quotes is, we do not see the world the way it is, we see the world the way we are. Because when we're filled with hurt, when we're constantly thinking about the bitterness of the past, then we see everything. What did the scripture say? Paul says, to the pure, all things are pure. Why? Because you see with the perspective. That's how you interpret the things around you. That's how you see. As a man thinketh, so he is. And so what Satan does is he wants to make sure that he covers your perspective with hardness, with bitterness, with some cynicism, with a little anger, with a little hopelessness and despair, because when he does that, he blinds you to the good things that are coming next in your life. Because the scripture does say in Jeremiah 29:11 that God has what? Good plans for you. He has blessings for you. But he tries to do that. Then the other way, he blinds people by feeding their pride with false spirituality. 2 Corinthians 11 tells us, for even Satan disguises himself as an angel of light. So it is no surprise if his servants also disguise themselves as servants of righteousness. I don't think this one will work very well there. How's it going, everybody? How we doing? Isn't this light so helpful in making you see? Can't you just see really better now that this light is shining right at you? This is terrific. Yeah, you're like, Pastor Sean, I'm never coming back. I hate you. Okay. Sorry. You know, one of the things the enemy likes us to do is bring us false spirituality. You hear it all along. I mean, even all the Christian, people who are trending the world say what? Oh, people aren't religious anymore, but they sure are what? They're still spiritual, right? And that's like a big thing, like, see, I'm not, I'm spiritual. You got nothing on me just because I don't like your Jesus or your church. But I tell you what, there's a lot of false spiritual pride out there. And he blinds us with a sense of spirituality. But the scripture says Satan does that all the time. His servants actually disguise themselves as servants of righteousness, as angels of light, as this idea of like, well, I don't go to church, but I'm really a spiritual person. It's like, yeah, I don't know how that spirituality is holding up. Now, it's beautiful that people don't want dead religion or meaningless tradition or just that since their parents were Christians, that's great. That's good. But what we need to recognize is Satan often blinds people by giving them a false spirituality. How do you know it's false? Because it always feeds their pride. That's how you know it's false. Always feeds their pride. It isolates, it condemns, it judges. It says, I'm better than you. That's spirituality that is not true. Jesus Christ, the most spiritual person that ever walked in flesh and blood, humbled himself and took the form of a servant and gave himself to others. We live in a world that celebrates spirituality, that celebrates, oh, yeah, I'm not religious, but I'm spiritual. But you need to recognize that there's a key lie of the enemy that has happened for a really, really long time. Any spirituality outside of Jesus Christ and, last time I checked, his body is false spirituality. And we get that, though, and we think, oh, you know, I'm good. We think our judgment is okay, our condemnation is okay, our cynicism okay, our bitterness is okay. We're blinded. Why? Because we're spiritual. It's like, well, there's only one spirituality that's the right spirituality that brings sight instead of blindness. And that's through Jesus Christ and the gospel. What's the gospel all about? Grace. Truth, absolute truth with grace. Those things. We need to recognize these things. Jesus modeled, and the Bible teaches, victory in spiritual warfare without fear or overfixation. We know this scripture in Ephesians 6, for our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the powers of this dark world. 1 John 3:8, the reason the Son of God appeared was to do what? Destroy the devil's work. John 9:39, I came into this world that those who do not see may do what? May see. So what we do is when we see these things, we recognize spiritual warfare. But if you'll notice the rest of the passage of 2 Corinthians 4, we respond in what? Everybody read it. In the opposite spirit. I want you to notice what it says there in verses 10 through 12. Why does all of a sudden, he's talking about the God of this age that's blinding. He's talking about all these things. And then he gets in this whole really discouraging passage that obviously comforts us when we're going through a hard time. It's just like, okay, you know, at least Paul said sometimes we're persecuted and we're pushed. And I mean, that's good for us to hear. But why is he saying, what's the context of that passage? What he's saying is, look, we always carry around in our body the death of Jesus so that the life of Jesus may also be revealed in our body. For we who are alive are always being over to death. Notice the opposites. For Jesus' sake, so that his life may be revealed in our mortal body. So then death is at work in us, but life is at work in you. It's a contrast. It's an opposite. We respond and we break spiritual darkness. We break spiritual blindness by acting in the opposite spirit. Spiritual blindness is broken when we act in a Christ-like opposite spirit. Now, some people want to take that, and they only want to see that from a relational, psychological, social, emotional standpoint. It's like, oh, that's nice. Yeah, that's true, you know. A gentle answer does turn away wrath, you know. And we just think of it kind of in an emotional sense. It's like, no, there is actually spiritual power. There is actually things happening in other dimensions when we lay down our lives in a way that serves Christ, we literally puncture and break through spiritual darkness. I had a friend the other day who was talking about that at this last journey to the cross, he for the first time actually washed feet. And he said, you know, he's like the majority of people in church, like, Pastor Sean, I'm really glad Jesus did that, so I do not have to do that. I don't want to do that. I don't want to wash feet. I think that's absolutely, you know, not my thing. And, you know, sure. And he was talking about how powerful it was. I said, you know what? Anytime I go into a foreign country and I start a work of missions, the first thing I try to do, if possible, is wash one of the pastor's feet in that area. Because when that happens, it's like a spiritual tidal wave happens across that place. Because it's not just, oh, isn't that nice? Oh, that's sentimental. That was kind of a nice, thoughtful act. Isn't that person different? I mean, those things, sure, no, but spiritually there is power when, what did Jesus say? Pick up your cross, deny yourself, pick up your cross, lay down your life, let death work in you, so what? So life can be released into others. There's literal spiritual power when we act in a Christ-like opposite spirit. Why do we fast? We allow death to work in us. We don't receive, so what may happen? So that power may be broken of darkness and life may come forth. It's a spiritual principle we miss so often, so we decide I'll debate better, I'll be more clever. Things Pastor Brandon was talking about last week, I'm gonna try to win the shock and awe or whatever. It's like, no, there's spiritual warfare. There's blindness. Tap dance all you want. They're not seeing it. There's something that needs to be broken in the spiritual realms. And so what we do is when people are being lured away by sinful pleasure, what we do is we literally kind of become a different type of bait. We literally, in the kingdom of darkness, they see a light. They see someone choosing to suffer, not to please themselves, but to please God. That is spiritual power that begins to break darkness. When they are overwhelmed with the fear, and they constantly hear, compared to them, you're nobody, and remember last time you tried, and remember when you prayed and you hoped, and we said, instead of doing this, what we do is we get close enough in relationship that we can just, we don't even have to speak that loud, but our relationship has created ability to hear something almost at a whisper that is the truth in people's lives. We speak the truth in love. When they're covered, when their perspective is covered with bitterness, and we all know hurt people do what? Hurt people what? Hurt people, right? And we're getting that, so we're tempted to lose heart. And all we see is, well, all they see is this. What we do is we offer to take these things off by interceding and offering a blessing. We pray for those who do what? Who curse us. We bless those who are persecuting us and giving us strife. And when there is this spotlight spirituality, sorry, got to do it one more time. Hey, Jacob, there you are. Everybody's in the back. I see you, Billy Piper. There you are. When this is being shined so light that all it does is blind, what we do is we don't bring a spotlight, but we get low and we serve in practical ways that demonstrate love. There's some people, and we miss it so much in our Western culture, they're just all about the debate, the philosophy, the what makes sense, and then they have a tragedy in life, and we're the one who shows up and prays with them. We're the one who's thoughtful and actually takes time to bring them a meal. We're the ones who follow up and wondering how they're doing. And all of a sudden, the debate's not the big deal anymore. Well, you kind of followed up. Now, I'm not just saying it all relational and emotional. There's spiritual power. There's breaking that happens in all those things. Jesus and the cross and communion, I'm going to ask the ushers if they'd prepare for it. I want to take a moment to remember what Christ did for us, and then I want to invite you to do the same for the world around you. So communion won't be the last piece of our service before we finish. He suffered to please the Father. He said even in the garden, not my will, but thine be done. He spoke truth and love to the woman who is caught in adultery. He told everybody who wanted to condemn her, everybody wanted to say, just point out the truth with no mercy, no grace, no sense of the compassion or love of God. He said, let the person who, you know, the person without sin, let them cast the first stone. And when they all left, He says to her, where are all those who condemn you? And she's like, well, they're nowhere. He's like, neither do I condemn you. Go and leave your life of sin. He's still telling the truth. The truth is you need to change. But he's not shouting in fear to her. He's inviting her in love. He intercedes and offers blessings. Even on the cross, he says, Father, forgive them. And when he talks about what he's about to do with this very sacrifice we're about to honor, he says before that in John 10, he says, you know, the good shepherd lays down his life. He just does what's humble and practical to break the blindness of this world. I'm going to ask the ushers if they would come and distribute the communion elements right now. I'm just going to ask you to just hold and we'll partake together in a moment. I hope this morning, talking about the ways that the enemy blinds people is not an academic lesson for you. I hope it was a moment where you recognized, especially as we now do what? As we allow the gospel to come into our field of vision right now, as we allow the gospel to begin to penetrate our darkness, I hope right now you're realizing and you have that the Holy Spirit's speaking to you. And he's reminding you of some of these that you took this week. Time to just cut the line right now. Say, Lord, forgive me. I don't want where that's going. I don't want where that's taking me. Forgive me, Lord. Man, we live in a world that shouts at us all the time. And whether it's your job or whether it's relationships, whether it's the news. I'm praying what's happening is you're realizing right now some places where it's like, man, I've been insecure all week. I've been comparing myself all week. I've been complaining all week. I don't know what it is. But you're beginning to see the light dispel the darkness in those areas. It's a good thing to grieve when loss comes, and it's part of this life is grieving. But there's a difference between grieving and being messy and sloppy. And yeah, there's some days I'm an emotional wreck still. I'm just because it's more than I can handle. But there's a difference between that and just hardening up and getting bitter and just deciding I'm just not going to hurt anymore because I don't want to hurt anymore. Because I'm not going to hurt anymore, I don't care anymore. That's not grieving. Grieving's like it hurts, and I do care. I do want to love the people around me. And right now, I wince every time I hear that word or see that picture or think of that thing. But God, I don't want to just not care anymore. I don't want to just not hurt. What I really want to do is I want to love. And I want to enjoy the life you've given me. So I got to take these off. And then the whole idea of that spotlight, I tell you what, be careful with it. Inside of Christianity and outside of Christianity, there's a whole mess of that going on. But somehow, it just feeds my pride, it feeds my isolation, feeds my sense of I don't need anybody else. It's just not good. It's scary where it'll take you. And Jesus came in the midst of all that, the perfect one, the one filled with the Spirit, the Ancient of Days, the Alpha and the Omega, the bright morning star, flawless. And Philippians 2 says he empties himself and takes the form of a servant so that you and I could see. So we could see this week how we've been. And we can see, and not just see, but we can give others. So I'm going to ask you right now if you'd stand, being thankful for what this bread and this cup represent. I'm going to ask you before we partake of the bread and of the blood, I'm going to ask you to take a moment. If there's any place you just want to ask forgiveness of the Lord, if there's any place you just want to repent of in your heart, say, Lord, man, thank you for showing me that. I want that to be repentance unto life. Turn me around from that right now, dear Lord. Teach me your ways. Would you take a moment to do that before I lead us in communion? Lord, the bread is so small and seems so frail in our hand. Will not be enough to satisfy our physical hunger by itself. Lord, it's like you coming into this world. Lord, not being appreciated or loved. Lord, fragile, allowing your body to be broken that we might receive the gift of forgiveness, the gift of the Spirit. We are thankful today. And whether we know how to say thank you or not the right way, whether we know all the Bible verses or not, Lord, we say thankful that, Lord, this bread reminds us that your body was broken, that there's a new covenant relationship, a new forgiveness, and a new peace to enter into. Lord, we are grateful and we receive now the body and the gift of Jesus Christ. Would you take and eat? Lord, thank you for this cup. Thank you for the blood that washes away all of our sins. Thank you for giving life that we might receive life. Thank you for letting death be at work in you so life could be at work in us. Thank you not only for that life that allows us to, Lord, heal and be blessed, but that, Father, we get a chance to extend that to our families, to loved ones and friends, to workplaces and communities. Lord, we are grateful. Father, we thank you that. Lord, we just thank you. Thank you, God. Jesus said this was the cup, the covenant that was made in his blood for the forgiveness of sins. Would you take now and receive? Would you take a moment and say thank you and just invite God to show you and open your eyes and lead you in light right now, dispel every darkness in you. Would you take a moment? Praise your name, O God. Teach us to live in these truths, O God. Would you take a moment as you finish to look up at the screen one more time? I pray that you're already realizing the importance of responding in the opposite spirit in many personal ways this week. But I'm also asking you to join together with the rest of the body to do this as a congregation. You know, there's not one of us in this room that has any extra time, pretty much. But I'm asking you in a very way that is hardly worth mentioning compared to what the Lord has done for us. Would you be willing to suffer some inconvenience, suffer being a little uncomfortable outside your comfort zone, suffer your own schedule and your own agendas and things? And would you say, Lord, you know, I'm not too busy to reach one more person for you. I'm not going to lose heart. I'm not going to think it's just all about me. There's spiritual warfare. So I want to live in the opposite spirit. We can invite you. We can invite people to hear the truth in love. Our community celebration, that's the name we're calling our anniversary Sunday this year to all the community around us, because we want to invite them in. We want the grace that we have to celebrate 36 years. We want to give it all away to everybody else this year. And so we want to invite you. My brother Seth, the former Harlem Globetrotter, is going to come. We're going to do some things in the community. But I invite you. It's a great way for people to hear the truth in love. And then let's just prayer walk with even greater fervency. If you haven't, start. If you have, man, do it again. Do it again this week. Pray. Jesus said there's some things, they don't come out except by what? It's prayer and fasting. There's a spiritual war going on, and it's in your neighborhood, and it's around that workplace, and you need to pray. You need to intercede. We have believed, therefore we have spoken. We speak out the truth of God. We speak into the spiritual realms and say, Jesus Christ be high and lift up. We quote Psalm 68:1 that says, may God arise and his enemies be all scattered. God arise in this place. Arise in this neighborhood. Arise, O God. And then we serve in really practical ways. There's going to be baskets out in the foyer you can pick up today. And whether you did a grace basket, pick one up and go right on back. And just love them. Just put some, it's just water. It's going to cost you a maximum of $5. Buy a thing of waters and some drink mix. Put it in there. We'll give you the material. Go back to that place. Say, hey, we just want to refresh you one more time. Say, we're still praying about it. That wasn't a one time. Hey, we're thinking about you because it was Easter. No. We're thankful for you. And you know what? You'll see some information that we're having this really fun community celebration. We're going to pray for all the businesses in our area, for people who come and just say, Lord, bless them and watch over them. And we're going to be sharing some great news. We're going to have a picnic. And a matter of fact, some of the people in our church, they bought extra tickets. So if you or some of your coworkers want to come, Brock's Barbecue's on us. Come on and just be part. So that's why if you do a basket, you can pay for one extra ticket. That's great. But we can do this. And instead of bemoaning the news and why nobody doesn't even, it's godless, da da da, maybe what we could do is we could begin to break the spiritual darkness with the light of the gospel of Jesus Christ. So, Father, I pray now that you call each one of us, Lord, not to some magic tomorrow, but action for today, for this week. Would you take a moment to hear from the Lord the things he would call you to do this week? Lord, let the gospel shine. Let your light be seen. Lord, be lifted up so that all men may be drawn unto you. God, arise and let the enemies of this life be scattered. Lord Jesus, fill us with grace that we might say, even as 2 Corinthians 4:15 says, this grace that is going to more and more people is leading to thanksgiving to the glory of Jesus. Let your grace become your glory through us, we pray. We ask all these things, praying the prayer that you taught us, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us of our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not to temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. There's prayer ministers up front. It's an important time to pray over those places. The Lord's speaking to you. Enjoy life groups and go out and share lots and lots of grace this week as you walk in the opposite spirit.